Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. And thus we have the opening words of Paul's 1 Corinthian epistle, which is where we are studying on the Beacon Broadcast these days. And we have the first bit of information in the salutation, which taken together, verses 1, 2, and 3, the salutation, tell us something of the inestimable blessings of belonging to Christ. And it begins with verse 1 telling us, in this particular case, who is the channel of blessing to these Corinthian believers, and it is indeed the Apostle Paul, assisted in some way by Sosthenes, which way we are not specifically told. But then the salutation goes on to say, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And that brings us, then, secondly, to the objects of blessing. The channel of blessing is Paul. God chose to use Paul. God chose to direct his blessings through a human vessel, a human channel, by the name of the Apostle Paul. And he directed those blessings, in this particular case, to a group of people in the city of Corinth. And we realize that that church, founded in Corinth in a very challenging location, was nevertheless a work that God blessed mightily, so that a church was founded in a very strategic city, but also a very immoral city, a very wicked city, and yet it became a strategic outpost, a wonderful testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. And there are a number of things that we will continue to study as we move along in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday, March 25. Many thanks for those whose financial gifts keep us ministering on this station. Well, you remember this church in Corinth was founded by Paul after he left the northern part of Greece, Macedonia, actually was driven out because of persecution, and he came south, first to Athens and then to Corinth. And in Athens, God did not bless his labor sufficiently to be able to found a church, but in Corinth, just the opposite occurred, and God poured out blessings in such great measure that a host of people were saved and a church was founded. But it had problems, as you know, all kinds of problems, which we're going to deal with one by one. Some of these problems were problems that the church itself was aware of and acknowledged and wrote to Paul asking for help. Please answer questions about this or that. Other problems were not things that they were addressing at all. They were skirting the issue of their responsibility, and Paul had to force it upon them. And we'll read about that as we move along in this epistle. But I'm interested in verse 2 in how the scriptures describe these people. We started looking at this yesterday and we'll continue today. The church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So what can we say about these people who are incredibly transformed? Who were they before Paul came to Corinth? They were pagan idolaters living in an extremely licentious city, in a world of licentiousness, in an empire known for its lasciviousness. This city stood out for its higher level of immorality. It had a reputation for that. And in that city, Paul came, preached the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit, and many lives were transformed. And how is this transformation described? Number one, they are sanctified by Christ Jesus, that is, set apart. Set apart. Set apart in Christ Jesus. Number two, called to be saints, that is, a calling of God came to their souls with force, with life, with power, and called them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they therefore submitted to the authority of Christ. These saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, notice, in this opening address, as Paul is writing to the saints at Corinth and describing the saints at Corinth, he goes on to say that what he is saying about them applies to all believers, all true believers. It's a shame we even have to insert that word true. We ought to just say all believers. But we know that there are a lot of people who think they are believers or claim to be believers, but they're not. So we use the word true or genuine, similar to the word Christian. It's a shame that we have to talk about a certain kind of Christian, because a Christian, properly understood, means a born-again child of God. But there are how many millions of people in this world that call themselves Christians, and a vast number of them give no evidence of the new birth. So we have to talk about born-again Christians as being a separate category of Christians. Really, we shouldn't talk that way, but we're forced to in this world in which we live. Or we talk about Bible-believing Christians, as opposed to those who are not. Now, what is a Christian who is not a Bible-believing Christian? In one sense, that whole idea is nonsensical, but in another sense, because of the world in which we live and the fact that people have applied this term Christian in such a broad way, then we have to come back and modify it in a certain way. I'm talking about a born-again Christian. I'm talking about a Bible-believing Christian. I'm talking about a true Christian, a genuine Christian, and it's interesting the way Paul describes them here. He writes again to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who, in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus, or rather call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Interesting language. And I take it by that particular wording that Paul is emphasizing the lordship of Christ and the fact that all true Christians are submitted to the lordship of Christ, to the authority of Christ. Here in Corinth, you who are sanctified have been called to be saints, and therefore, because of that calling on your life, you call on the name of Jesus Christ. You have called upon him for salvation. You continue to call upon him in worship. He is your Lord. He is your God. And you do that with all true Christians everywhere, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ. But then this particular language has struck me, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Everyone who is and here we go using that terminology again, who is a genuine Christian, a born-again Christian, everyone who has truly, in saving faith, called upon the Lord Jesus Christ because they have been sanctified by God and have been called to be saints, and therefore their response to this work of the Holy Spirit in their heart is to call upon the Lord Jesus. But the language here emphasizes their submission to his authority. All who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people in our day who believe that they have called upon the Lord Jesus or upon Jesus Christ. They have prayed some kind of a prayer to him, and they think, therefore, that they are saved. But, again, notice his language. All who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours, both their Lord and our Lord. You see how Paul is emphasizing the lordship of Christ here? Sometimes he does it in a different way, just simply by talking about calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, putting those three nouns together. And we shouldn't run over them too quickly without understanding what he means, what he's talking about. But here he does it a different way. Who call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so, how does Paul describing the transformation that has taken place in these Corinthians who formerly were pagan idolaters? They are now set apart by God. That's the meaning of sanctified. Called to live for God. Called to be saints. We can talk about the call to salvation. We do. That's all included here, and I already did talk about it that way. But here, called to be saints, that is, to be set apart ones, to be holy ones, called to live for God. And they are in this category with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. This emphasis upon the lordship of Christ, the authority of Christ. It is a pity that in our day there are some people who denounce this idea that a Christian is one who submits to the authority of Christ, that a Christian is one for whom Jesus Christ becomes his Lord, not just his Savior, but his Lord and Savior. Lord meaning master. Lord meaning God to whom one submits. How did that ever become controversial? How did anyone ever come to the place where they would deny that obvious truth? But we live in strange days, and nearly every doctrine, every teaching of Scripture is denied or contested by some. And strangely, some of those who contest the lordship of Christ are those who talk the most loudly about salvation by grace, salvation by faith alone, salvation not by works, but by believing on Jesus Christ, calling upon him to be your Savior, but deny that also includes, it inevitably includes, a submission to him as Lord. But you see, you can't chop Jesus up. You can't take him as your Savior, to use common terminology, but reject him as your Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Lord of all who are saved, all who are sanctified, all who are called to be saints, all who call upon the name of Jesus Christ are also submitted to him as their Lord. So Paul describes them in this verse. So the Bible teaches, and it is so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.